بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 8 for Medina Book 1, Lessons in Arabic Language by Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today we'll be taking a new lesson, that is lesson number 5. Before we begin the new lesson, I just want to remind everyone that of the importance of al-muraja'ah, the importance of review. Normally in our proposed or suggested weekly homework assignments, we normally have the first day or two being utilized for review. So for this week on Tuesday, we should have reviewed lesson number 1, lesson number 2, and lesson number 3, lessons that we completed previously, the English key, the vocabulary, and the Arabic text. Since we completed lesson number 4, we had on Wednesday review of lesson number 4, the English key, the vocabulary, and the Arabic text. And then on Thursday and Jumu'ah and Saturday, we entered the new lesson, yani previewing lesson number 5, the English key and the vocabulary, and the Arabic text, and followed on Jumu'ah by beginning the exercises, the comprehension exercise number 1 and exercises number 2 and 3 that followed, and then on Saturday, a lengthy exercise number 4. Hopefully, inshallah, if we have all paid attention to this proposed schedule of homework assignments, then we would have had a good review of the first 4 lessons that we have completed already, and we should have had a good chance to preview the lesson that we're going to take today, yani especially the English key, the vocabulary, and the Arabic text, and the exercises that followed, yani the first 4 exercises. Hopefully we're going to be able to complete that today. Okay, that being said, before we actually begin to read from the English key, let me just take 1 minute and remind us of yani the position of a Muslim, a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, concerning the events that are taking place across the nation, the marches, protests, and demonstrations in response to the senseless, brutal, merciless murder of an innocent black man. Of course, it doesn't matter if the person is black or white. An innocent person being murdered is an outrage, and Muslims, forget about other people, Muslims, yani reject, oppose, and yani are to have a clear position concerning oppression, injustice, and any type of harm, especially taking the life of an innocent human being, no matter who it might be. Islam is against this clearly. Okay, so that being said, let me add that our natural human emotion of being upset, of being angered, enraged about this type of injustice or wrongdoing is natural. There's no blame on a person for that. But what is blameworthy is that we allow our emotions to dictate our behavior. And instead of yani our behavior, whatever we say and whatever we do, being guided by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes we follow other people, or we just act out of anger without thinking through what we are doing. As a Muslim, everything that we say and everything that we do, we should ask ourselves 2 questions. Am I doing this in accordance with what Allah has legislated, yani in a way that's pleasing to Allah? Am I doing something that's pleasing to Allah? And am I doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah? If I'm doing it for some other reason, or I'm doing it in a way that Allah doesn't accept, this is wrong and it should be rejected. There's much more that could be said, but I'll suffice with this to remind us that demonstrating, protesting, marching in the streets is not from Islam. There's no justification for this in Islam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly, given us directions on how to resolve problems in the society, and that is, number 1, by purification of the soul, purifying ourselves, yani making our lives to be in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah individually, and then reformation of the society by the establishment of a tawheed, and the establishment of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the earth. This is the way that a Muslim yani resolves injustice, oppression, wrongdoing, whatever is wrong in the society. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in an authentic hadith reported by Abu Dawud, he said, "Ilzam baytak, wamlak alayka lisanak." To the end of the hadith, the meaning of which is, in the time of fitna, stay in your homes and control your tongue. Stay in your homes and control your tongue. Don't participate in the chaos and the fitna that's taking place around you, and don't speak about it except that you know what is the position of Islam and you say what is correct according to Islam. Otherwise, yani, be in control of yourselves, your actions and your behavior. May Allah protect us from this harm, and may Allah enable us to be the vehicles through which the message of Islam, the message of Tawheed, is conveyed to the people around us, to the individuals and the general society, yani moving towards the establishment of Islam in the earth. Okay, that being said, let us go on with our lesson today. And let's start with what we should have been prepared to do today. That is to go over the English key for the new lesson, number 5, the vocabulary, the Arabic text, and yani as many of the exercises as possible. Hopefully we'll be able to cover the first 4 exercises. Okay, so let's turn to page 12 of the English key for lesson number 5. Page 12. This lesson is not a lengthy lesson. It contains 4 grammatical points and it contains 10 exercises. The first 6 exercises are all dealing with the first grammatical point, that is al-idhafa. So this is the main core of the lesson, the first point. The other 4 are, yani the following 4 grammatical points, or 3 grammatical points, I'm sorry, there are 4 points. The following 3 points are secondary matters. Not that they are of no importance, but the most important grammatical rule in this lesson is related to the first point, and that is al-idhafa, yani the construct phrase. Okay, so the lesson, again, contains 4 grammatical points. The first one is the core of the lesson, and we're going to concentrate on that. And hopefully, yani, as we go through the exercises, the first 6 exercises are dealing with al-idhafa, dealing with this particular matter, and then the remaining exercises will deal with the other grammatical points of this lesson. This matter of al-idhafa is a very important matter. It's a fundamental matter. We're going to see it again and again and again throughout our studies. If you learn it well today, in lesson number 5, inshallah, it will help you. It will be a part of a strong foundation of your Arabic grammar. Okay, so let's read from page 12, English key, lesson 5. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1, Bilal's book. Yani, in Arabic, it has Kitabu Bilalin. Literally, the book of Bilal, or Bilal's book. The second example they gave us, the Imam's house, Baytu al-Imami. Baytu al-Imami, literally the house of the Imam or the Imam's house. Let me just say here that there are 2 ways that these expressions can be translated, as I have just mentioned. However, the literal translation is the house of the Imam, the book of Bilal, with the word of. Generally, any idhafa construction can be translated in this way. Idhafa constructions have different meanings. There are different ways that they can be used. However, it can always be translated with the word of, as in these 2 examples, the book of Bilal. Otherwise, you can say Bilal's book, no problem. It's correct. Literally, though, yani, it is the book of Bilal, the house of the Imam. Okay, before we go on reading the English key, I just want to note in these 2 examples, notice that in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin, the second word has tanween, kasra, 2 kasra. In the second example, Baytul Imami, the second word has no kasra, no tanween, has a single kasra vowel. Okay, so the point that I want to bring to your attention is that the second part of the idhafa construction can have tanween or it can have a single vowel. What is important, it has to be kasra. It's always going to be a kasra vowel. Whether it's a single vowel, as in the second example, where the second word has alif lam, so it can't take tanween, Or in the first example, it has tanween. Since it doesn't have alif lam, then it can take tanween. What is important? Whether it has a single vowel or double vowel, has to be kasra. Okay, we're going to explain that a little more as we read through the English key. These are the two examples they gave us. Now they said, in kitabu bilalin, the first word is the thing possessed. Okay, the book of Bilal. The thing that's possessed in this construction is the book. The first word is the thing that is possessed. It is called muvaf. Yani the Arabic expression for the first word of this type of construction, the construct phrase. The first word in that construction is called the muvaf. The second word, bilalin, is the possessor. It is called muvaf ilayhi. Okay, so two things here. We have a construct phrase. It's called al-idhafa. It's consisting, composed of two words. The first word is the thing that's possessed. That's one of the general meanings of idhafa, showing possession. The first word is the thing that's possessed. It's called muvaf. And the second word is the possessor. And it's called mudawfan ilayhi. Okay, so these Arabic expressions, you have to learn them. Very important to learn the Arabic expressions as we go through the lessons. Learn the Arabic expressions for the grammatical terms that are used. Okay, this is called an idhafa construction. In English, they call it a construct phrase. And it's a phrase that's constructed of two words. The first of those words is called the mudawf. The second one is called mudawfan ilayhi. The first word in this type of idhafa construction is the thing that is possessed. And the second word is the possessor. Bilal possesses the book. The imam possesses the house. Possessor and possessed. Now we will learn later on as we see other idhafa constructions that it's not always possessor and possessed. It could be showing a relationship between two people, for example. The son of Muhammad. Okay? The son is not possessed by Muhammad. But yani, he's the son of Muhammad, so showing a relationship. Or it could be like, for example, the door of the house. Okay, the door is not possessed by the house. The house is possessed by somebody. But the door is not possessed by the house, it's a part of the house. So this is another type of meaning for idhafa construction. It's not always possessed and possessor. Rather, it could be showing a relationship between two people, like the son of Muhammad, or the husband of Aisha, and so on. Doesn't mean that the husband is owned by Aisha. It just means that there's a relationship between them, or it could be a relationship of something being a part of something else, like the door of the house or the key of the car. Okay, so we'll see that there are other meanings that are applicable to the idhafa construction, but what is important and what is standard and consistent is that it's always two parts. The first part is called the mudawf, and the second part is called the mudawf ilayhi. Okay, now it says note. It says note. Okay, and this note is composed of four parts, A, B, C, and D. So that means there are four points that we want to make about the idhafa construction. After saying that it's a construction composed of two parts, the first part is always called the mudawf, and the second part is always called the mudawfan ilayhi. Whether it's possessed and possessor or not, it's always mudawf and mudawfan ilayhi. Okay, the first note A says that the muvaf takes neither the definite nor indefinite article. Meaning it doesn't take alif lam, nor does it take tanween. The definite article is alif lam, means the or the. The indefinite article is tanween. Two dhammas, two kasras, or two fatha. It usually is translated as A or N. Alright, so the muvaf, the first part of the construct phrase, neither takes the definite nor the indefinite article. It doesn't take alif lam, it doesn't take tanween. So it is wrong to say kitabun bilalin, yani, because the first part, kitab, can't take tanween or alif lam. So it's wrong to say kitabun bilalin. Rather, it should be a single vowel. And likewise, it's wrong to say al-kitabu bilalin, because the first word, not only it can't take tanween, as in kitabun, it also can't take alif lam, as in al-kitabu. So both of these are wrong. The first word, the muvaf, the first part of the construct phrase, should never take tanween, the indefinite article, or alif lam, the definite article. Rather, the muvaf is definite by position and does not need the definite article. Let's stop here on this point. The muvaf is definite by position and does not need the definite article. Okay, so what we have said here is that the first part of the construct phrase, known as the muvalf, it doesn't take the definite nor the indefinite article. It doesn't take alif lam or tanween. As far as this statement that it's definite by position and does not need the definite article, likewise, it doesn't need the indefinite article because it could be indefinite by position as well. It can also be indefinite by position. So what we're saying here is that the first word, the first part of the construct phrase, how do we know if it's definite or indefinite since it can't take alif lam or tanween? Well, it becomes definite or indefinite by its position, meaning in relation to the second part of the construct phrase, yani the mudaf ilayhi. Its relation to the second part of the construct phrase determines if it's going to be definite or indefinite. So if the second part of the construct phrase is definite, then the first part automatically becomes definite without alif lam. And if the second part is indefinite, then the first part automatically becomes indefinite without tanween. Okay, so it doesn't need alif lam, nor does it need tanween. Rather, it becomes definite or indefinite due to its relation to the second word, the mudafun ilayhi, either being definite or indefinite. So if the second word of the idafa construction is definite, it automatically makes the first part definite. And if it's indefinite, it automatically makes the first part indefinite. And keep in mind that the second part being indefinite does not necessarily require it to have alif lam, because there are words in Arabic that are definite without alif lam. Okay? If a word has alif lam, it's definitely definite. But there are other words that do not have alif lam, and yet they are still definite, like yani proper nouns, the names of people and places. Yani, as in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin. Bilal is a proper noun. It's the name of a man. So proper nouns are automatically definite. So even though it has tanween, Kitabu Bilalin, nonetheless, because Bilal is a proper noun, it's definite. And therefore it makes the first word definite, yani, in spite of the fact that the second word Bilal doesn't have alif lam. So what we're saying here, if the second part of the construct phrase is definite, whether it has alif lam or definite for some other reason, if it's definite, then the first part automatically becomes definite. If it's indefinite, then the first part automatically becomes indefinite. Okay, so I'm going to read point A one more time. Note A. The mudaf takes neither the definite nor the indefinite article. So it is wrong to say kitabun with tanween bilalin, or al-kitabu, yani with alif lam bilalin. Both of these are wrong. Rather, the mudaf, the first part, is definite by position. And we add to that, it may be indefinite by position in the same way. So it does not need the definite article, nor does it need the indefinite article. Point B of the notes. The mudaf ilayhi is in the genitive case. It can have tanween, as in the first example, or alif lam, as in the second example. Yani, in the first example, baytu bilalin, it can take tanween. In the second example, baytu al-imami, it can take a single vowel because it has alif lam. So, the second part of the construct phrase, it can take tanween, it can take alif lam, but what is important here is that the second part, no matter if it has tanween or alif lam, the mudaf ilayhi is always in the genitive case. So we say, genitive case means that it's majrur. So we say, this word, the second part of the construct phrase, is mudafun ilayhi majrur. Mudafun ilayhi majrur. And every word that's mudaf ilayhi, whether it's in a construct phrase or other than that, as we will see, yani, later on in this lesson, we will see that there are other words that are also mudafun ilayhi, that are not in a construct phrase like this, yani, using the expression of, or showing possession or being possessed, we'll see that there are other words that also form a different type of construct phrase, like with an adverb that we'll see next. And those words, yani the mudaf ilayhi, is still going to be majrur. So the mudaf ilayhi in any kind of idafa construction, whether it's one like this, the house of Bilal or the house of the Imam, or if it is a different kind of construct phrase with an adverb, for example, the mudaf ilayhi is always going to be مجرور. It's always going to be in the genitive case. It's always going to take kasra, whether it's a single kasra because the word has alif lam, or a double kasra tanween because it doesn't have alif lam. Okay, so kasra, the kasra vowel at the end of a word, is the primary sign for a word being majrur, genitive case. That's the primary sign. Later on, in level 2 and 3, we'll find that there are words that are majrur that have secondary signs other than kasra. But for now, yani words that are majrur are always going to take the primary sign, which is kasra. Okay, so this is the second point of the notes related to the idhafa construction. The mudhaf ilayhi, the second part of the construct phrase, is in the genitive case. It's majrur. It can have either tanween, if it doesn't have alif lam, or it can have alif lam. But it will always be in the genitive case. It will always be majrur. And that primary sign of that is that it takes kasra. Okay. Point C, the third note related to idhafa construction. Sometimes we'll have an idhafa construction in which the second part of the idhafa construction will be a word that's indeclinable. And in Arabic it's called mabniyun. It's fixed. It doesn't, its vowel ending doesn't change. So sometimes we're going to have a construct phrase in which the second word is going to be mabniyun, indeclinable. In that case, since it's that type of word whose ending vowel doesn't change because of i'rab, then we're not going to see it taking kasra. Okay, so they gave us the example here. Note C, kitabu men. Men means who, right? So, kitabu men means literally the book of who. Or, whose book. Whose book. Note that men is not in the genitive case. Yet it doesn't take kasra. Because it is indeclinable. That is, it does not change, yani the vowel on the end does not change to indicate its function, to indicate that it's mudhafun ilayhi majrur. The vowel doesn't change. This is a word that's indeclinable, meaning its ending is fixed on sukun or kasra or fatha or dhamma is fixed. It doesn't change because it's the mudhaf ilayhi or because it's the object of a preposition or because it's the object of a verb or anything like this. It doesn't change. So there are certain indeclinable nouns in Arabic which remain unchanged. Okay? So the third point is what? That sometimes the mudhaf ilayhi is going to be a word that's indeclinable. It's mabniyun, fixed. Its ending is fixed. So its vowel is not going to change to kasra when it's used in an idhafa construction as the mudhafun ilayhi. Point D. Okay, this is the final point related to the idhafa constructions. That sometimes we're going to see an idhafa construction in a sentence with other words that, yani, where we'll see words ending with kasra for different reasons. Yani, a word will be majrur, taking kasra for two primary reasons. Either because it's mudhaf ilayhi, as we're learning in this lesson, or because it's the object of a preposition, as we learned in lesson 4. So there are two primary reasons where a word may become majrur, yani, in the genitive case, with its primary sign being kasra. The first reason we learned in lesson 4, when it's the object of a preposition, it's following fi, or ila, or ala, or min. So therefore the word following the preposition, the object of the preposition, we say it's ism, majrur, because of a preposition, because of harf jar. The second reason is what we learned in this lesson, what we're learning in this lesson now, and that's because it's the second part of an idhafa construction, and the second part of idhafa construction, the mudhafun ilayhi, is always going to be majrur. So we see in D, point D, we see two words that are majrur for two different reasons. They gave us this example, ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Yani, on the desk of the teacher. Note that maktab is in the genitive case because of the preposition ala. And al-mudarris is in the genitive case because it is mudhafun ilayhi. Because it's in an idhafa construction. Because it's the second part of an idhafa construction. So we see here that words may become majrur for two different reasons. Either because it's the object of a preposition, or because it's the mudhaf ilayhi, the second part of an idhafa construction. Okay, I hope this is clear. So, again, to summarize the first point, and this is the core of this lesson, if you understand these points, then you're good to go, inshallah. Okay? The core of this lesson is what is called an idhafa construction. An idhafa construction is where two words are brought together to construct a phrase, okay, that takes on a new meaning. The two parts of the idhafa construction, the first part is called mudhaf, the second part is called mudhafun ilayhi. What we need to know about the first part is that it never takes alif lam, nor does it take tanween. Rather, it becomes definite or indefinite based on the second word. The second part of the idhafa construction is called mudhafun ilayhi, and it either takes alif lam or tanween, which determines that determines the first part of the construct phrase is going to be definite or indefinite. Okay, so the first part doesn't take alif lam or tanween. The second part will either take one of them, either alif lam or tanween. The second part of the idhafa construction is always going to be majrur in the genitive case. So we say that it is mudhafun ilayhi majrur. The primary sign of it being majrur is kasra. The second point is that the second part of the construct phrase may sometimes be a word that is mabniyun, yani indeclinable, fixed, so its vowel is not going to change to kasra, as in kitabu min. The last point of these notes is that a word may be majrur for two different reasons, yani for either of two reasons, either because it's the object of a preposition or it's because it's the second part of a construct phrase, the mudhafun ilayhi. Okay, so that's what we wanted to say in reference to the idhafa construction. Okay, let's turn to page 13 and look at the remaining grammatical points, 2, 3, and 4. Point number 2 is the word tahta, which means under, yani underneath something. The noun following tahta is in the genitive because it is mudhafun ilayhi. Because it is what? Mudhafun ilayhi. So therefore, you have, for example, these examples they gave us. Tahta al-kitabi. Under the book. The second example, tahta al-maktabi. Under the desk or the table. So the word tahta means under. And the word that follows it, the noun that follows this type of word, like under, the word that follows it is always going to be in an idhafa construction with it. The meaning here is not going to use the word of, okay? Because this is a different type of word now. This is a special type of idhafa construction. It's the idhafa construction with words like tahta, which mean under, or fawqa, which means above, amama, which means in front of, and khalfa, which means behind. These type of words, they're called in Arabic, dharf. Yani in English, it's called an adverb. An adverb. And this type of word, underneath, or above, or in front of, or behind, is called a dharf al-makan. An adverb of place. Al-makan means place. Adverb of place means it shows the position of something, where it's at. It's in front of something, it's behind something, it's above it, it's below it, it's to the right or to the left. It's in between two things, okay? So we will begin to see more words like this as we go along. These are called adverbs. Dharf al-makan. There's two type of dharf. There's dharf al-makan, which shows the place or position of something. And there's dharf al-zaman, which shows the time in which something is happening, okay? So right now we're looking at dharf al-makan. We're looking at the word tahta. And these type of words, the dharf al-makan, it's always going to be followed by or generally it's going to be followed by a noun, and that noun that follows it is going to be in Arabic, grammar we're going to say, in Arab we're going to say, it's the second word after the adverb is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur, like the second part of a construct phrase. This is also a type of construct phrase, so it's always going to be majrur. Okay, we'll see other examples of adverbs as we go along, especially adverbs of yani dharf al-makan, adverbs of place, which show the position of something. And the word, the noun that follows it, is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, next point. Number 3, ya is the vocative particle. It's called ya and nida. The ya that's used to call someone, to get their attention. Like if you said to somebody, hey, hey there. or in slang language, yo. Huh? Yeah. Close to yo, right? Is the vocative particle. In Arabic, it's called ya and nida. What do we want to know about this is, a noun following ya has only one dhamma. The noun following ya has only one dhamma. Even if that noun, yani, originally had a double dhamma, a double vowel, a tanween, if it is following ya and nida, it's going to change to a single vowel, a single dhamma. In the Arabic grammar, in terms of I'rab, we say that it is called al-munada, the one that is being called, the one whose attention you're trying to get when you're saying ya, ya Ahmed, ya Muhammad. Okay, so the word that follows ya and nida is called the munada, and we say it is mabniyun ala dhamma. The details of this we'll learn later on, but just yani, as a note, we can at least hear the idea that in grammar or in the I'rab, we say that it is called al-munada. And the munada, the word that comes after ya nida, in terms of its I'rab, it's mabniyun ala dhamma, meaning it's fixed on dhamma. Its vowel is always going to be dhamma, a single dhamma. Okay, there are different types of munada. We'll learn them later on and the different rules related to them. But here, yani, a proper noun after ya and nida, like Bilal or Muhammad and so on, or Mahmud, these proper nouns after ya and nida, even though originally they had tanween, Bilalun, Muhammadun, Mahmudun, even though they originally had tanween after ya and nida, we're going to change it to a single dhamma. And likewise, nouns, common nouns that are not proper nouns, like sheikh, sheikhun, or ustadhun, these are common nouns, yani that people share commonly, it's not somebody's particular name. The common noun, if the common noun is being used, sheikh, for example, ustad, and there's more than one sheikh present, or more than one ustad present, if there's a particular ustad, or particular sheikh, or particular rajulun, that is intended by that call, then this also falls under the same rule, meaning that it's going to take a single dhamma vowel. It's going to take a single dhamma vowel. Okay, so here, in reference to this point, what we want to say here is that after ya and nida, the word that comes after it is called munada. That word, the munada, is going to take a single dhamma vowel. Okay, it's either a proper noun that is not in idhafa. I mean, that is not, yeah, not in idhafa. It's not connected to another word following it. Or it is a common noun that is indefinite, but it's the one that's intended by the call. Nakira maqsood bin nida. Okay, the details of this, like I said, we're going to study in detail later on. It's not important. What's important now is after ya nida, the word, the munada, is going to take a single dhamma vowel. So we say ya ustadhu or ya sheikhu. These are common nouns that normally take a tanween, sheikhun and ustadhun. But after ya, they're going to take a single dhamma, not kasra, not fatha, single dhamma. And likewise, we say ya bilalu, not ya bilalun. Even though bilalun, yani bilal normally has yani originally tanween, but after ya and ida, it's going to take a single vowel. Okay, the last point, and we're going to see exercises related to this in exercise number 7, related to ya and nida. So we'll see it and as we go through the exercises, and we'll also see the following point, number 4, in exercise number 9. In exercise number 9, we're going to see this point. Point number 4, the words ismun and ibnun commence with hamzatul wasl. Yani these words and other words like them may begin with hamzatul wasl, and that's because the original word yani ibnun began with a letter that doesn't have a vowel, sukun, ba with sukun. And likewise, ismun originally begins with seen with sukun. And a word in Arabic can't begin with sukun. As a result of that, they added hamza to wasl so that they can put a vowel on the beginning of that word so it can be pronounced. Okay, so that vowel in the beginning of the word is actually added to the word. It's not originally a part of that word. It's added, okay? So the hamzatul wasl, when it's added to a word, the vowel that it takes, when, as it says here, when preceded by a word, the initial kasra is dropped in pronunciation. If it's preceded by another word, that kasra for hamzatul wasl that we added just to pronounce it, we don't need it anymore. So it will be dropped in pronunciation. So for example, the first example they give us is composed of two sentences, right? Ismu al-waladi bilalun. Notice that ism has a kasra. But in the second sentence that's joined to it, there's a word before ism, right? The waw, al-atif, the conjunction waw. So because of that, since there's a word before it, the kasra of ism is going to be dropped. So we're not going to say wa ismu al-binti aminatu. We're not going to say wa ismu, we're just going to say wasmu. We're going to join it directly to the first letter of the seen with sukun and drop the vowel of hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul wasl is still written here, but its vowel is not going to be written and its vowel is not going to be pronounced. Okay? So words like this, ismun, ibnun, that begin with hamzatul wasl, when they are preceded by a word, the initial vowel, in this case which is kasra, sometimes the vowel that's added for hamzatul wasl could be other than kasra, it could be fatah, it could be dhamma. But in any case, the vowel that is added with hamzatul wasl is dropped in pronunciation. Okay, so that's why in the first example of ism, we see the vowel is there because there's nothing before it. So we say, ismul waladi bilalun, the name of the child or the boy is Bilal. Wasmu al-bintu, wasmul binti aminatu, and the name of the girl is Amina. Okay, so these types of words, whenever there's a word following them, even if it's just a particle, a conjunction like wow or fa or be, whenever there's something before it, the vowel of hamzatul wasl is dropped. Second example they gave us, ibnu al-mudarrisi tabibun, wabnu al-imami tajirun, the son of the teacher is a doctor and the son of the imam is a merchant. Okay, notice that the first word ibn, ibnul mudarrisi, has kasra, there's nothing before it, so we have to pronounce that kasra. But the second sentence, wabnu, we don't say wa ibnul imami tajirun. Rather, we just say, leave the vowel of hamzatul wasl out, don't pronounce it, and just join whatever is before the hamzatul wasl, the wa with fatah, to whatever is after it, the ba with sukun, wabnu al imami tajirun. Okay, I hope this is clear. We will see other words like this that begin with hamzatul wasl, in which case whenever there's something preceding it, the vowel of hamzatul wasl will be dropped. Okay, this is the end of the English key. Let's go on now to the vocabulary. Vocabulary on the following page, number 14. We'll just quickly look at the vocabulary. On the right side, we'll read, going down, the first word is tahta, which means under or beneath. And again, this is a dharf al-makan, an adverb of place. It is not a harf jar. It is not a preposition. Okay, sometimes we see these adverbs and we think that since the word following has kasra, it means it's a preposition. No. There are two ways that a word will take kasra, become majroor. Either it's the object of a preposition or it's the second part of an idalfa construction. And all adverbs, the noun following them, if there's a noun connected to them, that noun is going to be mudalfan ilayhi, majroor. So just make a note that tahta is not a preposition, it is an adverb, dharf al-makan, an adverb of place. So the word following it is not the object of a preposition, rather it is mudalfan ilayhi, majroor. Second word, al-ibnu, means son or the son. Next word, as-sayyaratu. As-sayyaratu means the car or the automobile. Note here that as-sayyaratu ends with ta marbuta, and this is the general sign of a word being feminine. The next two words, huna, which means here, like close to you, and hunaka, which means there or over there, further away from you. Both of these are adverbs of place. Generally, they will come at the end of a sentence, and therefore they will not have a word, a noun following them that will be mudhafan ilayhi. Generally, they will just come at the end of a sentence by theirself. But these are also adverbs of place. Yani huna, here, something is here, and hunaka, over there. The next word, al-bintu, means daughter or girl. This word is مؤنث, it's feminine, like a سيارتو is feminine. But here, this word البنتو doesn't have تاء مربوطة. So this reminds us of what? That some feminine nouns do not have the ending with تاء مربوطة. So you have to learn these words. In this case, this word is obvious. A daughter or a girl is feminine. That's known. But there may be other words that are feminine that don't have تاء مربوطة, which might not be obvious. So we have to learn those words and know that these words are feminine. Okay, the next word, last word in the right column, الطبيب. الطبيب means the doctor. Going to the left-hand column, at the top of the column, الرسول. الرسول means the messenger, as opposed to النبي, which means the prophet. الرسول means the messenger, and النبي means the prophet. The next word, العم. العم means uncle, but the يعني from the father's side, paternal uncle, يعني meaning the brother of your father. The next word, الشارع means the street. This also has another meaning, يعني the one who legislates. The شارع means the one who legislates, the legislator. But here it's being used to mean the street. The next word, الكعبة, the Kaaba, يعني in Mecca, the house of Allah, يعني in the sacred masjid in Mecca. This word is obviously feminine. It ends with تاء مربوطة, so it's مؤنث. The next word, الخالو. الخالو also means uncle, like العمو. العمو with شدة means uncle, and الخالو means uncle also, but as we said, العم means the paternal uncle, the uncle from your father's side, and الخال means the maternal uncle, the uncle from your mother's side, your mother's brother. The next word, مغلقٌ. مغلقٌ means something that is closed or shut or locked or bolted. مغلق, it's the opposite of مفتوحٌ, which I think we had previously, means something that's open. The next word, الاسمُ. الاسمُ, that means the name. Notice that this word begins with Hamzatul Wasl, as we had previously, الابنُ, also with Hamzatul Wasl, and the kasra vowel would be dropped if there was a word before it and there was no alif lam. Okay, after this, the last word, al-haqibatu. Al-haqibatu means a bag or a case or a briefcase, al-haqibatu. And this word is obviously mu'annath, it's feminine, as we see from the tarmabuta sign. Okay, this is the end of the vocabulary. It's not a lot of vocabulary words. Please keep up with the vocabulary. Yani, this is our fifth lesson, and the vocabulary in time. Not long, yani, we do 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 lessons, the vocabulary is going to pile up. So please stay on top of the vocabulary, memorize it as we go, and review it every week. Please, when you review the lessons, review the English key, and review the vocabulary, and review the dialogue, the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. Okay, after this, we want to go to the next part of this lesson, that is the Arabic text, the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. And this was part of your homework assignment, to read it, to write it out, and to translate it. To read it and to write it. Please, yani, be diligent in writing out, yani, your exercises and the Arabic text. You need to practice your writing. It will help you in the long run to be able to write what you hear without taking a long time, or even write something if you're taking notes from a book, to be able to write quickly and not take a long time if you practice writing. If you start from now, and by the time we get through 10 or 15 lessons, it will become easier and easier for you to write. So this is the Arabic text, beginning of the lesson, very, very important. This Arabic text contains the grammatical points that we had in this lesson, new grammatical points. It contains new vocabulary words that we had in this lesson. So it's like a review of the grammar for the new grammar for this lesson and the new vocabulary for this lesson in a context that you can actually use it in conversation, for example. Okay, so let's read and let's translate. And you should have already translated this, okay? Saeed begins at the top of the lesson, page 27, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu. Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu, meaning the fifth lesson. Remember the ordinal numbers, we should be learning them as we're going through here. Al-Awwalu, Al-Thani, Al-Thalithu, Al-Rabi'u, and now Al-Khamisu. The fifth lesson. Saeed says, Akitabu Muhammadin Hada Ya Yasiru. Yasir is the name of a man. Ya Yasiru or Yasir. أكتاب محمد هذا؟ Is Hamzatul Istifham. It's a question, right? Kitabu Muhammadin is a construct phrase. The book of Muhammad or Muhammad's book. Hada is Ism Ishara. So the meaning of Kitabu Muhammad Hada, the book of Muhammad. Yani this, is this a Kitabu Muhammadin Hada? Is this the book of Muhammad? Is this the book of Muhammad? O Yasiru. Notice that Yasiru, even though Yasirun is a masculine proper noun which normally takes tanween, feminine proper nouns do not take tanween, but masculine proper nouns do. But any word that comes after Ya Nida is gonna lose its tanween. Okay, so we say Yasirun after Ya becomes Ya Yasiru. Mabniun ala Dhamma, fixed on a single vowel Dhamma. Is this the book of Muhammad or Yasir? Yasir answers, La, comma, pause, Hada Kitabu Hamidin. No, this is Kitabu Hamidin, the book of Hamid, or Hamid's book. Okay, notice the first part of the construct phrase doesn't take Alif Lam, it doesn't take Tanween. The second part of the construct phrase takes either Alif Lam or Tanween. It's always going to be Mudafun Ilayhi Majroor, yani genitive case with Kasra. Since it doesn't have alif lam, it's going to have a double kasra. Third line, Saeed says to Yasir, Aina kitabu Muhammadin? And he asks, is this the book of Muhammad? He said, no, this is the book of Hamid. So now he said, Aina kitabu Muhammadin? Meaning, where is the book of Muhammad? Where's Muhammad's book? Yasir answers, Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. Again, you should be reading with me. If I pause a little bit, that's for you to read ahead of me. Okay, huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. Meaning, it, yani the book of Muhammad, it, huwa is a pronoun, dhamir, referring back to the book of Muhammad, it is on the table, hunaka. Remember, huna and hunaka. Huna means here, hunaka means there, over there, far away. It is on the table, over there. Saeed says, Aina daftaru ammarin? Meaning, where is the daftar? Yani daftar means what? Notebook. The daftar of ammarin. Where's the daftar of Ammar? Where's Ammar's daftar, his notebook? Yasir answers, Huwa, again, the pronoun Huwa is referring back to daftar. Remember, we use Huwa when something is singular masculine, and we use here when it's singular feminine to refer back to it, right? Whether it's inanimate or inanimate, yani human or otherwise. We're going to use huwa and here for all things that are masculine and feminine singular. Okay, so where's the daftar of Ammar? Yasir says, huwa, it. The daftar of Ammar is ala mattabil mudarrisi. Huwa ala mattabil mudarrisi. Okay, here mattab is the mudaf, and al-mudarris is mudafun ilayhi majroor with kasra. And also maktab has kasra here. Why does it have kasra? It's the object of the preposition ala. Here we have two words, maktabi and al-mudarrisi. Both of them are majroor, but for two different reasons. Maktabi is majroor because it's the object of the preposition ala. And al-mudarrisi is majroor because it is the mudaf ilayhi, the second part of the construct phrase. Now, Sayyid says, قَلَمُ مَنْ هَذَا يَا عَلِيُّ قَلَمُ مَنْ, the pen of who, yani whose pen is this? يَا عَلِيُّ, O Ali. Whose pen is this, O Ali? Notice that Ali is the munada, the word that comes after ya, the vocative ya, ya and nida. And that means that even though Aliyun originally has tanween, it loses its tanween, it becomes mabniyun, yani ala dhamma, fixed on a single dhamma. The word after ya and nida is going to take a single dhamma. Ali answers, hada, yani whose pen is this, Ali? Hada qalamu al mudarrisi. Hada qalamu al mudarrisi. This is the qalam, the pen of the teacher or the teacher's pen. Saeed says, Aina haqibatul mudarrisi? Where's the haqiba? Yani the briefcase or the case or the bag of the teacher. Ali says, Hiya tahta al-maktabi. Again, Hiya, the pronoun, is used for feminine singular things. It's referring back to what? Haqiba. It's referring back to haqiba, the briefcase of the teacher or the teacher's briefcase. Where's the briefcase of the teacher? Hiya, it is tahta al-maktabi, underneath the desk or the table. Okay, here I want to note that tahta is a dharf. Dharf al-makan, an adverb of place, and the noun that normally follows the dharf al-makan is going to be mudawfan ilayhi majroor. Okay, mudawf ilayhi majroor. Okay, after this, let's look at the exercises that begin on page on the bottom of page 27 and follow on the pages, yani 28 and 29 and 31. The first exercise says, is a comprehension exercise. It says, Ajib عن الأسئلة الآتية. Yani answer the following questions. By the way, عن is a preposition, and therefore الأسئلة is the object of the preposition, is taking كسرة. First question. Read, translate, and answer. First question. أين كتاب محمد؟ Where is the book of Muhammad? Where is Muhammad's book? Answer. يعني the answer came in the first, second, third, fourth line. Yasir saying, هو على مكتب هناك. يعني هو على المكتب هناك. It is on the desk over there. Second question. أين كتاب عمار؟ Or, يعني, it should be أين دفتر عمار؟ يعني it came in the lesson. أين دفتر عمار؟ After the previous statement that we just read in the answer to number one, it says أين دفتر عمار؟ The answer, يعني where is the دفتر of عمار؟ هو على هو على مكتب المدرس. هو على مكتب المدرس. It is on the desk of the teacher. يعني this answer came 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the 6th line. هو على مكتب المدرس. The next question, number 3. أين حقيبة المدرس? Where is the briefcase of the teacher? And the answer, هي تحت المكتب. يعني it's the last line of the dialogue. هي تحت المكتب. It is underneath the مكتب. Okay, let's turn to exercise number 2 on page 28. The first exercise, comprehension exercise. What is intended by this type of exercise, comprehension exercise? What is intended is to test whether or not you understood what you read in the dialogue, and whether or not you were able to retain that information. Sometimes when you read it, you might understand it well, but you don't retain the information. In that case, that's why I encourage you to write out the lesson. That helps you to remember what is there. And I also encourage you to read the dialogue several times. And as part of your homework assignments, you should read the dialogue several times. And rereading something several times helps you also not only to understand what you're reading, but equally important, to retain what you have read. Because when you read something, you want to retain the information. Okay, page 28, top of the page, exercise number 2. The instruction says, عضف الكلمة الأولى إلى الثانية. عضف means put in إضافة, put into a construct phrase. الكلمة الأولى, the first word. الأولى is the feminine of الأول, because الكلمة is feminine, so we have to use the feminine form of الأول, that is الأولى. عضف الكلمة الأولى, the first word connected in إضافة, إلى الثانية, meaning إلى الكلمة الثانية. Connect the first word to the second, meaning the second word. So they're going to give you two words, and they want you to put them together in إضافة construction. And what you have to remember concerning the Idafa construction is that the first part of the Idafa construction, the Mudaf, never takes Alif Lam or Tanween. So if that word has Tanween or Alif Lam, you have to remove it. And the second part of the Idafa construction is going to take either Alif Lam or Tanween. It's going to take one of them. Not both, but one of them. What's important is that the second part is always going to be Mudafun Ilay. That means it's going to be Majroor. That means it's going to take Kasra, either single Kasra or double Kasra. Okay. The first two words they gave us is Kitabun, a book, and Muhammadun, Muhammad. Yani Muhammadun doesn't mean a Muhammad, right? Because we said proper nouns, when they have Tanween, we don't translate it as a. It just means Muhammad. So that we have two words, Kitabun, a book, and Muhammadun, Muhammad. Now we want to put them together and make a new meaning. Right now we just have a book and we have Muhammad. But we want to put it together so it became the book of Muhammad. Or Muhammad's book. Okay, so we put them into a construct phrase and we get the meaning of the book of Muhammad. Kitabu Muhammadin. So what did we change here? In the first word, Kitabun, we changed it from having Tanween to a single vowel Dhamma. Okay, because the first word can never take Alif Lam or Tanween. And we changed the second word, Muhammadun. It remained with Tanween, but it became Muhammadin. Because the second part of a construct phrase, remember, is always going to be Mudhafun Ilayhi Majroor, either with a single Kasra or double Kasra. Okay, the second example going across, they gave us two words, Maktabun, a desk or table, and Al-Mudarrisu, the teacher. Okay, we have two words, a desk and the teacher. But we want to put them together and make a new expression, a new meaning. The desk of the teacher. The teacher's desk. Okay, so we put them into a construct phrase and we have to make some changes. From Maktabun, it became Maktabu. And Al-Mudarrisu became Al-Mudarrisi. So it became Maktabu Al-Mudarrisi. Maktabu Al-Mudarrisi. The desk of the teacher or the teacher's desk. Okay, so this is what they want us to do in this exercise. So what we're going to do here is we're going to go across. And the reason why I want to go across is because the right-hand column, the second word of the that they're giving us for the construct phrase, they all have Tanween. And in the left-hand column, the second word all have Alif Lam. So we want to contrast between the construct phrase where the second word has Tanween and the construct phrase where the second word has Alif Lam. We want to look at both of them at the same time and try to practice paying attention to the second word if it has Alif Lam or Tanween and whether or not the Kesra is going to be a single Kesra or a double Kesra. If it has Alif Lam, it's going to be a single Kesra. If it doesn't have Alif Lam, it's going to be a double Kesra. Okay? So going across from the first line, we have Qalamun. Please read ahead of me. And Hamidun. Qalamun and Hamidun. Qalamun, a pen. Hamidun, Hamid. We want to put that into a construct phrase. It's going to become Qalamu Hamidin. The pen of Hamid. I hope that you have written the answers out already and that you get them all correct. Going across. Miftahun Albaytu. Miftahun means a key. Albaytu means the house. We want to put them into a construct phrase that will mean the key of the house. And here in the meanings of ownership in Qalamu Hamidin means the Qalam is possessed by Hamid. But here we have Miftahun and Albaytu, and we're not going to say that the key is possessed by the house. Rather, the key is the key to the house. Okay, it's related to the house, and that is the key for this particular house. So, we put in a construct phrase, the key of the house becomes Miftahu Albayti. Miftahun became Miftahu with a single Dhamma, and Albaytu became Albayti with a single Kasra. Going down, second line. Baytun, a house. Abbasun, the name of a man, Abbas. We want to change the meaning to the house of Abbas. So it's going to become Baytu Abbasin. The house of Abbas. Going across. Dukkanun At-Tajiru. Dukkanun means a shop. At-Tajiru means the merchant. So we want to change it to the shop of the merchant. So it's going to become Dukkanu At-Tajiri. Dukkanu At-Tajiri. The shop of the merchant. Notice Dukkanun became Dukkanu and At-Tajiru became At-Tajiri. Going down to the third line. We have Gurfatun and Aliyun. A room and the male name Ali. We want to change it to the room of Ali. Or Ali's room. It's going to become Gurfatu Aliyin. Gurfatu Aliyin. Okay, Gurfatun became Gurfatu and Aliyun became Aliyin. Going across, we have Baytun and Al-Muhandisu. Baytun, a house. Al-Muhandis means what? The engineer. We want to change the meaning to the house of the engineer or the engineer's house. It's going to become Baytu Al-Muhandisi. Baytu Al-Muhandisi. Going down to the fourth line. Daftarun and Sa'idun. Daftarun means a notebook, and Sa'id is a male's name, a person named Sa'id. We want to change it to the notebook of Sa'id, or Sa'id's notebook. It's going to become Daftaru Sa'idin. Going across, Ismun, a name, Al-Waladu, the boy. So we want to change the meaning to the name of the boy, or the boy's name. So ismun becomes ismu, and al-waladu becomes al-waladi, ismul waladi. Going down to line 5, mindilun, a handkerchief, yasirun, a man's name, yasir. We want to change the meaning to the handkerchief of yasir. Okay, it's going to become mindilu yasirin. Mindilu with a single vowel, yasirin with kasratain. Going across, kitabun, a book, Allahu, Allah, the yani the lafz al-jalal, the proper name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majestic. We want to change it to the book of Allah. So it's going to become kitabun becomes kitabu, and Allahu becomes Allahi. Kitabullahi, the book of Allah. Going down to line 6, qamisun, a shirt, ammarun, ammar. We're going to change it to the shirt of ammar. Qamisun becomes qamisu, ammarun becomes ammarin. Qamisu, ammarin. Going across, we have bintun and At-tabibu. Bintun, a daughter, and At-tabibu, the doctor. Okay, we change it to the daughter of the doctor. It becomes Bintu At-tabibi. Going down to the last line, line 7, Sarirun, a bed, Khalidun, a man's name, Khalid. We want to change the meaning to the bed of Khalid. Okay, Sarirun becomes Sariru, and Khalidun becomes Khalidi. Sariru Khalidi, the bed of Khalid. The last one, going across, Miftahun, a key, As-sayyaratu, the car. I'm going to change the meaning to the key of the car. It became Miftahu As-sayyarati. Naam. Alright, this exercise is just practicing in yani composing construct phrases from two words, the second of which might have tanween or it might have alif lam, which will determine if when you put it in the construct phrase, will that word be taking a single kasra or a double kasra. The first word is not going to take alif lam or tanween. The second one is always going to take either alif lam or tanween. In column A, on the right hand column, we had all words with tanween on the mudhaf ilayhi second part, and in the left hand column we had the second part of the construct phrase all having alif lam. Okay, exercise number three. Exercise number three on page, yani bottom half of page 28. The instruction says, اقرأ واكتب مع ضبط أواخر الكلمات. اقرأ, read, واكتب, and write, مع, with, ضبط, making exact or precise, أواخر, the endings, الكلمات, of the words. Any meaning? We want to make sure that each word, does it have a single vowel or double vowel? Does it have a dhamma or fatha or kasra? We want to make the endings of the words crystal clear. Okay, so in this exercise, you should read and you should write as it says here, and you should also translate. Alright, so I hope you have already read them. I hope you have already, yani, written them out, and I hope you have already translated them. We're going to go through this exercise together. I want you to read ahead of me. I'll pause a little bit so you can read ahead of me and so that you can translate ahead of me. The first expression, first construct phrase, Babu al-madrasati, meaning the door of the school or the school's door. Second expression, Himaru ar-rajuli, meaning the donkey of the man or the man's donkey. Next one, Baytu hamidin, the house of Hamid or Hamid's house. The next one, Sayyaratu al-mudiri, the car of the principal or the principal's car. Line 2, first expression, Mindilu Ammarin, the handkerchief of Ammar or Ammar's handkerchief. Next, Ismu al-talibi, the name of the student or the student's name. Next one, Baytu Allahi, Baytullahi, the house of Allah or Allah's house. Last one on line 2, Fi kitabi Allahi, Fi kitabillahi, Fi kitabillahi, in the book of Allah. Notice that the word Allah is pronounced, yani, in this expression, Fi kitabillah. Yani, the reason why it's pronounced soft, kitabillah, instead of kitabillah, is because when the word, the vowel preceding the lafz al jalala is kasra, it's going to be pronounced light, as opposed to if it was preceded by dhamma or fatha, yani, kitabullahi. Fi kitabillahi. Please pay attention to this. Line 3, Min bayti al-mudarrisi, from the house of the teacher. Last one, Ala maktabi al-mudiri, on the desk of the principal. Okay, this exercise number 3 is designed what? It's designed to make us pay attention to the construct phrase, the vowel endings for the first word, for the second word, tanween, alif lam, and so on. You need the changing of the vowel of the second word from dhamma to kasra, and whether or not it takes a single kasra or a double kasra, depending on if it has alif lam or not. The first word of the construct phrase never takes alif lam or tanween. Its vowel has been dhamma here, but as we'll see later on, or as we saw in a couple of examples, if the first part of the construct phrase is preceded by a preposition, it will change from dhamma to kasra, as we saw in fi kitabi. The first part of the construct phrase kitab has kasra because of the preposition, and likewise min baytil mudarrisi, bayti is the first part of the construct phrase, instead of dhamma as in most of the previous examples, it has kasra because it's preceded by a preposition, and likewise ala maktabil mudiri, maktab is the first part of the construct phrase, it never takes alif lam or tanween, but its vowel, yani, can be dhamma or kasra or fatha depending on how it came in the sentence. Okay, the last exercise, I don't know if we'll complete this last exercise, it's quite lengthy. It was part of our homework assignment, but in any case, if we don't complete it, then to complete it will be part of, yani, our homework assignment for the next session next week. And next week's session, inshallah, I think we will be completing this lesson, yes. All right, let's just do whatever we can do from exercise number 4. It's a reading exercise. I advise you to read it and to write it. Please read it and write it. Writing is very, very important. It's a skill that many people do not have, and the only way you're going to attain it is by the hard work of writing out everything. Okay, the exercise instruction is very simple. Iqra. Yani it says, read. I'm saying, Iqra waqtub, and also write. And, translate. Okay. Bottom of page 28, exercise number 4. The first sentence says, and you should read ahead of me and translate ahead of me. Aina baytul mudarrisi. Where is the house of the teacher or the teacher's house? Huwa ba'idun. It is, meaning the house of the teacher, it is ba'idun, far. Huwa is referring back to bait. Bait is masculine singular, so huwa is the masculine singular third person pronoun. Second sentence. Al-Qur'anu kitabullahi. Yani the Qur'an is the book of Allah. Here I just want to note, in this sentence, it's a simple nominal sentence, jumla ismiya, composed of a mubtada and a khabar, and there's a third word here. So the first word, al-Qur'an, was the mubtada, the subject. Kitabu, the first part of the construct phrase, is the khabar, the predicate of this sentence. And the lafz al-jalala, Allah, is the mudafun ilay. Okay, let's turn to page 29. Top of the page, sentence number 3. Al-Ka'batu Baytullahi. Yani the Ka'ba is the house of Allah. Again, Al-Ka'batu is the Mubtada, and Bayt is the Khabar, and the Lafz al-Jalala is the Mudafun ilayhi Majroor. Sentence number 4. Muhammadun Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallama. Yani Muhammad, may the salat and salam of Allah be upon him, Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Muhammad is the mubtada and Rasul is the khabar, and the lafz al-jalala is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Sentence number 5. Kharaja al-mudarrisu min ghurfati al-mudiri. Kharaja al-mudarrisu, the teacher went out, min, from, ghurfatil mudiri, from the room of the principal. Here I want to note, kharaja is a verb, the subject, doer of the action of the verb is following it, is al-mudarrisu, and the fa'il, the subject, the doer of the action of a verb, the fa' is called fa'il, is always marfu'un with dhamma. It's always marfu'un. The primary sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. Kharaja al-mudarrisu. Who went out? The teacher. Min, from, ghurfat al-mudiri, from the room of the principal. Number 6. Hadha baytu hamidin. Wadhalika baytu khalidin. Meaning, this is baytu hamidin, the house of Hamid, or Hamid's house. And dhalika, and that is Baytu Khalidin, the house of Khalid. Number 7. Ibn Ammarin Talibun Wabnu Yasirin Tajirun. The son of Ammar is a Talib, student, and the son of Yasir is a Tajir, merchant. Notice that Ibn Ammarin, Ibn has Kasra, but Ibn Yasirin doesn't have Kasra because it's preceded by a word. So we don't say Wa Ibn Yasirin. Rather we say Wabn Yasirin. Number 8. Baytu Al-Mudarrisi Ba'idun Wa Baytu At-Tajiri Qaribun. The house of the teacher is Ba'id, far, and the house of the merchant is qareeb, near. Number 9. Hadha miftahu as-sayyarati. Aina miftahu al-bayti. Hadha miftahu as-sayyarati. This is the key of the car. أين مفتاح البيت? Where is the key of the house? Number 10. من أنت يا ولد? أنا ابن عباس. من أنت يا ولد? Men here, remember men is used for people and ما is used for things. And also we want to be careful with men. If it had a kasra, it would be min, which is a preposition. So please be careful between the words men and min. Men is who and min is from. And men is used for people and ma is used for things. Men anta, who are you? Ya waladu. Remember after ya, the munada, the word that follows, you should take a single dhamma. Answer, ana ibnu abbasin. Don't say ana ibnu abbas, because remember the kasra is not going to be pronounced if there's a word for it. So you're going to just join it together. An Ibn Abbas, and I am the son of Abbas. Number 11. Wabn man huwa. Wabn man huwa. Again, we're not going to say wa ibn. Wabn man huwa. Yani the son of who is he? Yani whose son is he? Wabn man. The son of who is this one here? Huwa. Okay, again, man is the second part of the idafa construction, but it's mabniyun, it's fixed. So its vowel is not going to be changed to kasra. Wabnu man huwa? Whose son is he? Huwa ibnu Khalidin. Huwa, yani, join it to ibnu. Huwa ibnu Khalidin. He is the son of Khalid. Number 12. Aina masjidu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is the masjid of the Messenger of Allah? Yani, masjid of the Messenger. Rasul is the mudafun ilayhi majroor. And then, yani, the love of the jalala, Allahi, is also second idafa, mudafun ilayhi to Rasul. Aina masjidu Rasulillahi. Yani, Rasul is taking kasr because it's the second part of the construct phrase, the masjid of the Messenger. And then, the love of the jalala, Allahi, is taking kasr because it's the second part of the construct phrase, second construct phrase, Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah. So we have two construct phrases here, the Masjid of the Messenger and the Messenger of Allah. So where is the Masjid of the Messenger of Allah? Huwa fil Madinati. It is in Medina. And then it has another word there, Al-Munawwara. We want to say Al-Madina An-Nabawiyya. Instead of Al-Munawwara, we want to change it to An-Nabawiyya. This is a more proper expression to be used here. Number 13. بنت حامد في المدرسة وبنت محمد في الجامعة. يعني the daughter of Hamid is in the school and the daughter of Muhammad is in the university. Number 14. Here's another word beginning with Hamzat al-Wasl. اسم المدرس سعيد. Wasmu, not waismu, wasmu al-muhandisi Khalidun. Yani the name of the teacher is Saeed, and the name of the engineer is Khalid. Number 15. Ammu al-talibi ghaniyun. The uncle of the student is rich. Number 16. Babul masjidi maftuhun. وَبَابُ الْمَدْرَسَةِ مُغْلَقٌ. Yani these two words, مَفْتُو and مُغْلَق, are opposites. Open and closed. The door of the masjid is open and the door of the school is closed. I hope the masjids are opening these days, even if the schools remain closed. Number 17. خَالُ حَامِدٍ فَقِيرٌ. The uncle of Hamid. What type of uncle? Khal, yani maternal uncle. Khalu Hamidin Faqirun. The maternal uncle of Hamid is poor. So 18. Sayyaratu Abbasin Fishari'i. The car of Abbas is in the street. Turn to page, I know our time is up now, we just have two sentences remaining, so we'll try to complete this. Page 30, top of the page, number 19, another word with beginning with Hamzatul Wasl. Ibn man anta, the son of who are you? Yani whose son are you? أنا ابن المدرس. أنا, don't say ابن but connect it, أنا ابن المدرس. I am the son of the teacher. And the last sentence, number 20, أين الكتاب, where is the book? هو, masculine, singular, third person pronoun referring back to book. أين الكتاب, هو, يعني الكتاب, تحت السيارة, the book is under the car. تحت السيارة. Keeping in mind that السيارة following a ظرف المكان is going to be مضاف إليه مجرور. Okay, we're going to stop here and our time is up. And inshallah for homework, please do the remaining exercises. Number 5 and 6 and 7 on page 30. And number 8 and 9 on page 31. And number 10 on page 32. Just so that it becomes clear, I'll just take one more minute. Exercise number 5 says, كون جملا مفيدة بملء الفراغ فيما يلي. يعني compose beneficial sentences. بملء, by filling in, الفراغ, the spaces, in what follows. So in other words, they're going to give us some sentences. It's going to be missing a مبتدا or a خبر or مضاف إليه or something, and they want us to fill in. Keeping in mind that we're talking here about يعني إضافة constructions. But these are going to be sentences that have إضافة constructions. You have to pay attention to the rules of إضافة. Number 6 says صح, meaning correct. التركيبات, يعني the words that have been brought together here, التالية, which follow. Correct them. يعني these are إضافة constructions that have mistakes in them. Okay, keeping in mind the rules of إضافة, correct if it has a alif lam or tanween that it shouldn't have, or if it has a dhamma where it should be a kasra, correct all of that. Number 7 is an exercise dealing with ya and nida. So they gave you examples of the word that has tanween, and after ya and nida it took a single vowel. So read that carefully and pay attention to it, and then complete the exercise by اقرأ واكتب ما ضبط أواخر الكلمات, يعني read and write with making precise the endings of the words that come after ya and nida. Exercise number 8 on page 31 says اقرأ المثال الآتي, read the following example, ثم كون, then compose أسئلة, questions, مثله, just like it, questions just like it, مشيرا إلى صور التالية, pointing to the following pictures. Okay, so they're going to give you a sentence and they're going to give you a picture, and they want you to make questions with that picture just like as in the example. Okay, it's going to be questions that have the word men, and remember when men is the second part of an idafa construction, its vowel doesn't change from sukun to kasra. Exercise number 9 is just giving us examples of the word ibn and ism, which begin with Hamzatul Wasl, and keeping in mind that if there's nothing before it, we pronounce its vowel, and if there's something before it, we don't pronounce its vowel. Okay, in the last exercise on page 32, اقرأ ما يلي, read what follows, مرائياً, complying with or observing the قواعد, the rules of nutq, pronunciation of Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, this is also an exercise that's related to Hamzatul Wasl and how you pronounce it. Do you pronounce it vowel, kasra, or don't pronounce it, if something is before it or not. So please pay attention. Read this exercise, paying attention to this. And also write it out, I would say. And then following the new words are in the box at the bottom of page 32, and the construct phrase, how it works, the mudhaf and the mudhaf ilayhi. This is what this should be for. All of this should be for our homework next week. And perhaps we might even look at the English key for the next lesson. For homework next week, we might look at the English key for lesson number 6. But in any case, for now, for sure, for homework, we have to complete the remaining exercises from lesson number 5. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.